Good morning, or good day, good Vof, Shavua Tov to all the listeners. It gives me a great pleasure to start, I call it a course, with a new subject. I'm thrilled to do it. With the Tuzfarim, Mesilat Yeshurim, the Path of the Just, right, and also with the Sefer Orchos Tzadikim, and this Orchos Tzadikim, we call it in English, Ways of the Tzadikim, or the Treasure of Life, the Treasure of Life. It's amazing what it's written there. And the author is not other than the Chacham Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the Ramchal. And therefore, you see, by starting it, I would like to introduce the author first. What about the author himself? We have to understand that life is not meant to be easy, and so only good. And this is what the Ramchal went through, unfortunately, through pains and suffering. And I'll start about his biography. He was born in Padua, Italy. It's in northern of Italy. In the year, according to their date, 1707. And he died 1746 in Acre, in Eretz Yisrael. He was only 39 years old when he passed away. And he was a prominent Italian Jewish rabbi, of course Jewish rabbi, Kabbalist and philosopher. And he took at night some classes, Jewish and Italian educations. You can imagine, he couldn't, do it during the day. He had to take it, during nighttime. Showing a predilection of literature at a very early age. It was ingenious. He may have, attended University of Padua and certainly associated with a group of students there, known to devil of mysticism and alchemy. With his vast knowledge in religious law, the arts and science, he quickly became the dominant figure in that group, became the head of the group. His writings demonstrate mastery of the Tanakh, the whole Tanakh, the Talmud, and the rabbinical commentaries and codes of Jewish law. When the Ramchal, point in his life came to the age of 20, he mentioned only 20, when he received direct instruction from a mystical being known as the Maggid. We don't know really who was the Maggid, but in a very important rabbi, which, such stories were known, not unknown in Kabbalist circles. It was unheard of for some of such young age, the age of 20 only, that he learned so much already. His peers were enthralled by his written accounts of these divine lessons. But the leading Italian rabbinical authorities were highly suspicious and threatened to exhumate him. To exhumate him, can you believe it? Because he was very deep into mysticism. They thought is like, like chapter 3. 100 years before him, over there, came the guy, chapter 3, and called himself Mashiach. And he, the Ramchal, he went so deep to Kabbalah and mysticism, they thought, he's the second one that thinks himself Mashiach. But he never mentioned and considered himself as a Mashiach. And had rocked the Jewish world by claiming to be Mashiach. This is referring to chapter 3. But it was really, really a mistaken way that the Jewish community was still reading from that. After 100 years, chapter 3 coming and saying, they thought, there is another one. That's why the Ramchal had problems. And where, all this, it was being particularly dangerous and heretical for the Jewish people. But these writings, only some of which have survived, are often misunderstood to describe a belief that the Ramchal and his followers were key figures in messianic drama that was about to take place. This is what they thought, but it was wrong, totally wrong thinking. He identified one of his followers as the Mashiach, son of David. But he never considered himself the Mashiach, but assumed for himself the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, claiming that he was the biblical figure reincarnation. Well, he, unfortunately, it was his young age. He was involved with this company of friends that learned the Kabbalah and mysticism too deep. They didn't realize it. The community will suspect that he is going too far. Well, even the Rambam that went deep, he was under a light that maybe he's doing wrong. And this is what Ramchal came about. Eventually, he ended up in Accra, in Akko, Eretz Yisrael, that he taught the others, and he just came to terms with the community that not to be feared, and thinking of him as the Mashiach, he wants to show the emuna, the real emuna in Ribbono Shel Olam, in Hashem. That's why we see in the two Sforim, Mesilat Yesharim and the Orcha Tzadikim, that he is talking, especially in the introduction, he's talking about Yirat Shomayim. If such a person, in the introduction, emphasizing Yirat Shemayim, obviously he himself, he was like this, Yire Shemayim. And I would like just to go back to what he and his Akdoma and introduction, what he, the Ramchal, said. Meselat Yesharim says like this: I have written this work not in order to teach people what they do not know, but rather to remind them of what they already know and clearly understand. Wow, look at this. In the Akdama already he said, look, I'm not going to teach the others. I would like to remind them to bring back. For within most of my words, you will find general rules that most people know with certainty. However, to the degree that these rules are well known, is not teaching something new. Just a reminder to bring some, thoughts and things that were already forgotten. However, to the degree that these rules are well known and their truth self-evident, they are routinely overlooked or people forget about them altogether. Yeah. I mean, there is a way of shichacha, forgiveness. Yeah, I mean, he forgets, and then we'll ask for forgiveness. I mean, this is, we are human beings. Therefore, the benefit to be obtained from this work cannot be derived from a single reading, for it is possible that after just one reading, the reader will find that he has learned little that he did not know before. Rather, its benefit is the function of continuous review. In this manner, one is reminded of those things which, by nature, people are prone to forget, and he will take to heart the duty that he tends to overlook. Well, very, very simple. We'll take the example for learning Torah. Do we learn Torah every Shabbos, another portion of the week? We go over, and we go over it for a year, and then by Simchat Torah, we said, okay, Chatan Torah, Chatan Bereshit. Now we are going to start again the Torah. Which means from here we see that learning Torah, we have to repeat all the time. Learning the whole Torah, reading and learning, it's not only once. We repeat, we go over it and over it. And we still don't know. There are so many Pirushim, there are so many Sforim today on our bookcases. And more coming with Chidushim. It's unbelievable. What we should review. And this is not talking only about the Torah. About halacha. That's why the Rebbe is today emphasizing. Don't learn only Shas. We have to, combine together also halachos, the laws. It's not enough to know, okay, this it must be like this or that. All right. No. We should know, for instance, if we are coming to a new home, to put the mezuzah on, not only to read the klaf, what it says in Shema Yisrael. No. By reminding us, right, the Divrei Torah, what it says in the Torah, we fix up, the mezuzah, and we put the word Shakai, that Hashem is shomer dan to this world. A good reminder. But, unfortunately, comes Korach and teaching us, something wrong here with this trick to Moshe Rabbeinu. If I'll have the whole talis, Blue talent, do I need the tzitzit? That's the same, you know, to say that if we learn Torah and we read those words, should we have mezuzah on? Should we have? This is according to Korah. No, Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, with all this, we need tzitzit on. This is the same applies, right? A good reminder as far as mezuzah. When we kiss the mezuzah, we think, huh, why we kiss? Why? That Hashem, you know, shomer us. When we come in, you know, shomer latot Yisrael, you know, and we have a watcher. When we are at home, we have a watcher. Hashem is, you know, looking after us. And the same applies as we go out from home. Who knows what will be? Chas v'sholem, God forbid, something can happen when we are going out. And this is, we have to know, oh, there is Hashem and Shechina above us. And this is what the Mechaber, the Ramchal, comes and says, wow, right? Yeah, I'm coming to say, you know, to bring up things were forgotten. They were forgotten. And this is fantastic. He comes and says, oh, this is a way of Musa. We have to understand that we cannot live without Musa. What is Musa? Musa, the ethics of morality. We have, you see, in order to cope with our, you know, brethren, with our people, and the entire world, we must know the ethics, how to do it, how to behave, what to do. It reminds me a nice story about the Rebbe Yisrael of Salanta. A beautiful story that he and his shamans were about to go, you know, away because he was invited to a happy occasion. Cannot remember what. It was for Bris Milah to be the Sandek or to officiate, you know, wedding somewhere. But obviously they had to take the wagon, the horse, you know, will lead them to this place. Just about to go up on the wagon or the carriage, all of a sudden they hear a voice, someone screaming. They're looking back, they see a woman, middle age, calling the Rebbe. And then we're waiting, obviously, for the woman to come. And she came, she said, Rebbe, I'm a widow. I don't have much. But I saved this money for tzedakah or good chesed to give to the Rebbe. And I would like that the Rebbe will accept this money. I know the Rebbe is going away, you know, for over Shabbos. And please have this money to buy challis for Shabbos. And the Rebbe, you know, the Salanta, said to his balegole or shamis, take the money. And she said, thank you. And the Salanta blessed her. She was so thrilled and happy. They're going and going and going. The horses are taking them. But it was almost Shabbos. They had to stop somewhere because they couldn't reach the place. They couldn't possibly reach the place. And the Salanta said to him, Balagula, stop. We'll stop here. We'll have Shabbos here. And they stopped. He said to Ben Gurion, go and look for a bakery. Take this money, the woman's money, and buy challah for us. The guy went, came back upset, and maybe I couldn't find possibly kosher challah. Couldn't. But the Rebbe said, what did you find? He said, pas, you know, I found challah, but pas akum. Not was baked by a yid. What shall we do? The Salanter said to him, go back to the bakery and buy pasakum. Why? He was stunned. How can the Rebbe said so to buy pasakum? How is possible? No, he couldn't say anything. He went, he bought the challah. And they went to a hotel, motel, somewhere. They used to call them houses. They were staying with Shabbos and they ate these challahs. Once the Shabbos, they were, you know, about to carry on riding to the destination. He couldn't hold it. And he said, Rabbi, how come that we are going to eat? That happened. And we ate. The Rebbe said, tell me what is more important. If this widow was crying, was happy to give to us this money and this is for challahs, if what will be if we will miss the Shabbos and will go during the week, come back, what will be with the money? Should we give her back? Or use it for something else. You know, this what the woman wanted. And it's a matter of ethics and morality. For the sake of, you know, the woman's wishes. Even to eat pasakum. This it was the Salant. It's unbelievable. What we can think, you know, this is the real Musa, what the Salante came about with such stories. One shouldn't forget, absolutely, that what in Pirkei Avot, the Ethics of Fathers, chapter 3 says, about Akavya ben Mahalalel, actually, he was appointed to be the Rosh Sanhedrin, but he was stubborn. He was standing, he didn't want to listen to Rabban Gamliel, Rav Shimon. I cannot remember exactly who was the Rosh Sanhedrin that he appointed him to be his successor. That's why he was not appointed as a Rosh Sanhedrin. And he said, Da me'ain bata ule'an ata oilech ve'lefnei mi ata atid liten din v'cheshbon. Remember where we are coming from and where and how we are going forward. We carry on. But one thing, and before whom, who, we have to give the account, the report, if not to Ribono Shel Olam. This is very, very important. We will, whatever we do, what kind of a move we do, we have to remember that we have above the head, the one in charge of our lives. whatever we do. As yes, Hashem gives us the mind, the machshavos. That's why we say that Hashem, you know, gives us chokhmah, wisdom. And it says like this, it's a very, very top of the Kabbalah spheres. From the keter, from the crown, it gives us the chokhmah. And from the chokhmah spreads out down to bina, understanding, and that knowledge. Can you see that this chokhmah, wisdom, spreads out to our understanding and knowing something? This is absorbed in our mind, everything in our mind. But after all, we are human beings. I know I came across so many old age homes and seniors. They will tell me stories what happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Fantastic. However, they won't remember what happened yesterday. Well, what happened, they ask me. What happened yesterday? Well, what I did yesterday? No, it's very, very hard for them to remember. And this is the fantastic thing that we should, you know, work on. And hear what the Ramchal mentioned. I'm not going to teach you something new. No. Just a reminder. But in order to remind yourself what happened or what's going on or during, you know, your study, you have to the Shannon, go over it, repeating again and again. Right? Almost everywhere you look in the world today, you find that the majority of the bright and clever people, listen to this, are devoting their thinking and investigations to a profound analysis of well-known knowledge and its subtleties, each according to his intellectual capabilities. Look at it, you see what I said. And his natural inclinations. There are some who focus their efforts on the study of the physical world and the laws of nature. Others immerse themselves in astronomy or geometry, whatever, you know. Natural subjects. But it's good to know. And some follow the path of technological applications. And there are also those who have entered the realm of the sacred and are studying the Holy Torah. Some occupy themselves with the theoretical aspects of the halakha, as I mentioned. Others with midrash. And yet others with the practical formulation of legal decisions. Yeah, there are some people that like to say, okay, we would like to learn now some halachos. And the others, no, they say, oh, we still learn the Shas, Halacha, or Daf Yomi. We carry on. Which means we have actually to spread our knowledge everywhere. If we are, you know, if we are in the open world, obviously we have to be knowledgeable and to understand the worldly, you know, subjects and ways how to come about. Just to say that, for instance, we are we're deciding to purchase a car and motor vehicle and to drive. But hang on. The government says to you, no. You have to learn the theory first. How the car or vehicle is built. And what to do. After you pass the test, right, theory test, then the tester will say, come, drive the car. But you cannot drive the car without knowing what to do. And this is what we are, you know, just delved in. We are there to know. We have to know. For instance, a woman comes and says, my dear husband, I would like to cook for you something. Bake. What kind of cake you would like to eat? I would like to eat, let's say, cheesecake. Good, like a Schwartz. Well, she has to go to the book and to look for the, obviously, you know, recipe. Yeah. And look, one, you know, how much of sugar, how much of flour, how much, you know, the cheese, and this and that and that. Okay. And she puts it on a scale and she mixes it, etc. Exactly all the introduction. Of baking cake, and then cooking it or baking it. She has to bake. This is the same applies to our lives. We cannot say, okay, I just know something, but I don't know the others. My youngest son. At his yeshiva, at his work, wherever he came, you know, he was in the east of the United States, and his friends asked him, where are you from? He said, I am from the Midwest. And he was asked, can you believe it? He was asked, what language you speak there? What country is that? Can you believe it? They didn't know geography. Where is this city located? Where? They didn't know. They had to explain to them, well, this is still United States of America. And this in United States, we speak English. If you want to speak to your friends other languages, by all means, go ahead with this. And this is what the Ramchal, the author, wants to come about, to remind us how to lead our life. Obviously, we cannot say we are free. We live in freedom. Yes, Hashem says you are by yourself. This is a democratic world. Do whatever you like. However, if you're going and move from the right way, you are considered a sinner. And I have to punish you. Very, very simple. Very simple. And here, the Ramchal says, the bedrock of piety and the root of flawless divine service lies in man's effort to clarify and verify what his duty is in his world. His world and this world. He must determine what he is aiming for and how to achieve this in all his labors throughout his lifetime. Wow. And he carries on, he says, our sages of blessed memory have instructed us that man was created for the sole purpose of revealing in the eternal and delighting in the splendor of the divine presence, the Shekhinah. This being the ultimate joy and greatest of all pleasures in existence. And the true place for this pleasure is in the world to come, which was created with this purpose in mind. Wow, look at this. Which when we are here for one purpose, to bring up and to install in us and in our communities and our families the best thing what we can do is to make some achievements and to water, to plant the flower or the plants in order that those plants will grow. How? How we can do it? By watering it and shoveling it and looking after it. The same as we have to do for our little children, the newborn children. If our child is crying and screaming, should we say, ha ha, no. No, you are, arrange by yourself. No. We don't pay attention. No, we cannot. You are by yourself. No, we cannot do it. Even we are tired, overtired, we have to attend our child to change his or her diaper and to feed him, to feed her, and to look after them. And then we have the pleasure, we have the smile, we're holding our babies with a smile and to say, yeah, this creature is ours, came from us. And we have to understand there are three partners in our lives, three. One is the Father, the Mother, and the Divine Father, Ribbono Shel Olam. All three make up us as creatures, as children, as loving partners. And this we have to remember for all the time. It's fantastic. That's a good reminder what we are standing for. I'm going now to the Sefer Ochot Tzadikim, the treasure for life. And in Akdama, in the introduction, it starts fantastic with the wisdom of HaMelech Shlomo. Wow. Sof davar hakol nishma. Et ha'elokim yara bet mitzvotav shemo. The end of the matter, the end of the matter, as it says, as the Melech Shlomo says in Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. The end of the matter, all having been heard, fear Hashem and keep his mitzvot, for this is the whole of man, ze kol Adam. The Metzuda David says, heard, Nishma, since all that man does is held in Shamayim, you should always strive to attain fear of Hashem. Always. No other choice. In order to have good life, Chaim Tovim Aruchim Shalom, long life and good life with peace. We have to live with Yirat Hashem Yirat Shamayim. Wow, it's amazing. It is well known that all of man's actions and thoughts are recorded in heaven. Listen to this. We cannot be hiding. Even Adam and Chava, when they wanted to hide from Hashem, when they acquired the knowledge from eating from the fruit of the tree, Hashem found them. Hashem knew exactly where they are. But Hashem played with them. Ayeka, where are you? All of a sudden, they found out, we cannot, hide ourselves from Hashem. No way. To be shown to him at the end of this day. Every day of our life has been recorded in heaven in Shamayim. And Chafetz Chaim, the Sefer, Sefer Chafetz Chaim, it says the following question is raised. We know that the further back in time we go, the wiser the people were. That being the case, how is it that the incredible inventions of the modern era were not developed in previous generations, but people of greater wisdom and intellect? Is the question. Chafetz Chaim explains that all of these advances are for the purpose of allowing us to recognize divine providence, the Shechina. We try to bring the Shechina along to us on a daily basis. If through technology sounds can be records to be heard at a later date, and voices can be heard over long distances. It is like an echo. Someone in the midbar, in the wilderness, call, you can hear the voice going further, long, long distance. All of a sudden, this voice comes back. Then certainly Hashem can do the same. That Hashem's voice can come back. The further back in time we go, the stronger the belief in the divine providence was. Without the need for the technology to bring it to light, the further ahead we go in time, the more the need for technology. Yes, we need to improve. As I said, we have to know. We have to know more and more to strengthen our belief. In order to have our belief in Hashem and the divine providence, we have to know more and more, not to stay by air. Today, we may apply this principle to to the video camera. To that extent, look at this. If we are able to record our every action, then we can, be sure that in Shamayim, this in Shamayim, we should remember, whatever we do, whatever we think, min Shamayim, from heaven. Not only our actions, but our very thought too, are certainly recorded. According to Meiri, we'll find this in Meiri, and Tehillim, King David mentioned it, Tehillim 94:11. The words of the Metzudat David now come to life. All that man does is held in Shamayim. This is what we have to bear it in mind. Hence the importance to fear Hashem. Wow, look at this. For this is the whole of man. And we carry on. This pasuk was stated by Shlomo HaMelech, who was wiser than all men. Listen to this. And who reigned over the upper and lower creation. According to the Talmud, Masechet Megillah 11b, it says that he, Melech Shlomo, because of acquiring this Chokhmah, the vast Chokhmah, he could reach high, upper part and lower part, both, Lemala veLemata, Elyonim veTachtonim. And after he had seen all deeds and tested all things and taught much wisdom to the world, he sealed all of his words by saying that the end of all things is fear of Hashem, as if a warning and reminder. Remember, fear of Hashem, Yirat Hashem, Yirat Shemayim. Similarly, he began the Sefer Mishlei, the Proverb, with the words, the fear of Hashem is the beginning of knowledge. Yirat Shemayim ve'Yirat Hashem, Reshit Da'at. This is the beginning of all things. Wow. Can you believe it? This is all of us. This is us. For this is the whole man. There are many and varied qualities and character traits with which particular individuals are endowed according to their specific needs. Yes, we are not the same. I know of twin brothers. Twins, identical twins. They are not the same. As they grow up, they split. One goes to the right, one to the left, one is taller, one is shorter, one is become, fatter, one this. And their characteristics are not the same. Yet the capability or capacity to fear Hashem was given to all mankind. Depends on the person. That's correct. Depends. I know of people. They are ingenious. They know everything. They are sitting, they are students and in class. But comes the moment for writing exam or test, they are lost. And instead of to get AA or A, they are getting D. Because it's impossible for them to sit, with others. I don't know, they have a fear of something. They had to write the exam by themselves. Here you got it. He knows everything, but to write an exam, he cannot. And the Gemara Shabbos 30b states that the entire world was created only for Yirat Shamayim, fear of Hashem. Rashi points out and says that this is the reason why man was created. Here you got it. Here you got it. And the fear of Hashem is the beginning of knowledge, period. And concludes with Hashem, God-fearing woman. Now he faces, right, about women. She should be praised. Yishayat Hashem hitit halav. Now if another man, right, had pushed men to fear Hashem, his words would not be so readily accepted by them. What about this woman? It says hitit halal. She should be praised. Chazal tell us that mipnei shalom, for the sake of peace, one is permitted to stray from the truth when dancing before the bride by saying kalana ava chasuda. The bride is beautiful and charming, even if she is not good looking. The Gemara in Ksubot, page 17a, explains that this is because it refers only to Chen and Yofi, grace and beauty. And the Pasuk says, Sheker Achen Vehevel Av Yofi. Wow. Grace is false and beauty is vain, in vain, in vain, according to Mishlei 31:30. But in reference to Yirat Shamayim, only a woman with Yirat Shamayim may be praised as such. Because Isha Yirat Hashem Hitit Halal. Wow. A woman with Yirat Shamayim is truly praiseworthy. This in the Amlo is, you know, mentioning. There are other opinions on this, you know, issue, as the custom to extol all of the virtue of the bride of the color, included that Yirat Shamayim. Additionally, Chen and Yofi, grace and beauty, that Hashem, you know, gives it as gifts. Not so Yirat Shamayim, which must be self-acquired, as Chazal say, Akol bidei Shamayim chutz miYirat Shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except the fear of Hashem. Also, you know, Me'am Lo'ed mentioned it about it. Now look at this. Even you know, every, you know, men and women are in this, you know, category that we have, and Hashem knows, even a woman must be Balas Yirat Shamayim. And this is Mipnei Shalom, for the sake of peace. If within a family, right, the husband feels Hashem and says, I know everything what I do has been, you know, written and recorded in Shamayim, in heaven. The same applies to a woman, to a wife. She said, I'm doing everything for Yirat Shamayim, to know Hashem better. I know He's there, He's above us. And after both of them acknowledging the fear of Hashem, the fear of, and, you know, Yirat Shamayim, and also to acknowledge Hashem's existence, and to acknowledge that Hashem is everywhere, wherever they move, and how they do it. So this can bring shalom, peace, between them. And they will face each other with warmth and nice laugh. With love. Love. Once they, you know, adopting the love of husband and wife, husband to wife, wife to husband. This is, Hashem comes and says, I'm happy. I'm happy for you both. I'm happy, very much so. I have no words. If you both created peace amongst you, I am coming and join you. I know that this kind of love and peace, yeah, is with you. I know that you love me as well. Havas Hashem is in this home. And I'm going to be the Shomer Daltot Yisrael, your Daltot, your doors. I'm here. I'm in presence. And I'm going to send the divine providence, the Shechina, my Shechina, this lovely, lovely Shechina. She will be with you both. She will impose, right, the love from above, from Elyonim to Tachtonim. Once you come and you face to Elyonim up. And this is will be a beautiful, beautiful way of doing it. Wow. I hope that this lesson, as we started today, will give us something to think of this new beginning of a week. That I know everyone is busy the whole day, sometimes at night as well. We have to think how to carry on, not to end up with this week, to give the hope for weeks, months, and years to come. B'merav yameinu, amen. Ken yei ratzon to all of you. We all looking forward for blessing. Whatever we'll do, the chol ma'aseh yadeinu en yadeichem. Ken yei ratzon. Amen. Thank you.